Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Team Turnbuckle Podcast on the IB Sports Podcast feed. With you, as always, the trio that would hold the six-man tag titles if they were in play in any wrestling promotion right now. I am your host, Chief Keith Fleming. With me, as always, first, secluded in a basement somewhere in Pennsylvania, Sam the Shooter, and as always, the ravishing one, ravishing Ron L. Tinsley. What's going on, guys?
Stop the music.
I just love
there's never a time to not use that. I'm sorry. Thank you for giving me that, because now I'm never going to, every once in a while, find a way to put it in somewhere clever, or like if I have a hot take or something like that.
Well, you're Sammy, gonna have how's a hot it going take tonight. That's a category.
That's true.
We are going to be today, we're going to do the superlatives like we normally do from the week of wrestling. We're not going to do as many because we want to spend a significant amount of time talking about the Survivor Series pay-per-view. Sam wants to spend a significant amount of time shitting on what they're doing for the Survivor Series pay-per-view this year. So he's patiently been waiting the last few weeks. So we're going to give him the floor. But we'll go through the superlatives of wrestling. This week, we're going to do the storyline you need to pay attention to, a booking decision you didn't understand, because there was quite a few this week. These are ones that we do every week, the face of the week, heel of the week, match of the week, and then a new one that I'm kind of excited about, which is the hot take of the week, because I've got a couple actually. But let's start with a storyline you need to pay attention to. I'm going to start, and it's going to be poised as a question to you guys. Did you take the segment and match with Pac, from this Wednesday's AEW Dynamite as them turning him face?
I think that the crowd, because he's been gone for 8 months, they want to cheer him, and I think that the idea of a six-man tag with the Butcher, the Blade, and the King against the Death Triangle is awesome. But I also think that was what they were going for towards, and I think they were sort of leaning into the fact that the crowd is going to just be excited to see Pac back.
Ron L.
Yeah, it totally seemed that way. And like, if that's the case, to compound that question, by extension, does that include his now reunited Death Triangle teammates? Because it looks like Penta, El Cerro, and
I mean, they're exciting enough to be face, right? I mean, they wrestle in a style that would be easy to get behind as a face team.
Absolutely.
How many top-level faces are there in AEW?
Well, that was going to be my next question, is if we think that Omega, and I think we all do, is going to be the person to dethrone Moxley, could they be setting up down the line Pac to be the face who eventually dethrones the heel Omega?
No. Okay. I think that that's Hangman. I think that's...
Okay.
But I think that Pac is definitely a face challenger.
And would definitely put on a pretty damn awesome match.
Well, yeah. Now, what is your storyline you need to pay attention to?
My storyline that you need to pay attention to is, are our world title holders heading into the Survivor Series... It seems somewhat like a clash of potential faces of the company for the foreseeable future. Now, we all know that they've already, for years, have put the rocket ship on Roman Reigns. And quite honestly, this latest wrinkle is making it hard to say that it's definitely going to be his company to dance around and do with as he pleases. But, you know, with the title run that Drew has had and now subsequent second title run, so we've gotten, you know, that out of the way, like he's not going to be a one and doneer. I mean, Drew's having one hell of a year considering all the guys that he's taken on. Like, this is one of those potential, like this is going to be a first of hopefully many which will have these two guys who are basically two of the top dogs for the foreseeable future. And I know
you were not on the podcast, I believe the week that, you know, we talked about Triple H came out and said that he thinks this is going to be their Rock Austin for this generation is McIntyre Reigns. Now, me and Sam both said, I wish you'd picked any other feud. Only Cena because Edge, that's Cena the Punk. Yeah, that's the two biggest stars and the biggest feud, you know, arguably in the history of wrestling. But I do agree with like what you're saying and kind of Triple H's point that, I mean, it needs to be remembered that, yes, Reigns has been the guy for forever, but so is McIntyre. Like, I know that he got lost, but this was kind of what they envisioned when they first brought him on.
Well, also to piggyback off something Ronnell said is that, yeah, Roman is the guy, but Roman's a heel. And the WWF, going back to the 60s, has been a face territory, whether it was Bruno, Hogan, Austin, Rock, Brett. Cena, Brett, HBK, like whoever's the top guy, like they, Vince, whatever you want to say about him, loves to have a face as his big, as his biggest guy. So I think that's why they pushed Roman so hard. Because
don't you think though that this will ultimately make him a bigger face when he does turn face and be the first time that the crowd is really truly behind him since his Shield days?
Yes, but I'm interested to see what kind of a reaction he gets when we come back from vague gesture at the pandemic.
Does he get the obligatory boos because they respect the work he's doing, you know what I mean? Or is it a deal where they cheer him, which they've done for certain heels? You know, I'm curious to see any reaction, because, you know, I've said it a while back, not knowing it was going to be this long, because now it looks like it's going to be like a while before we have true, like real crowds. Who the hell knows who's going to be over? You know what I mean? It's going to be interesting to see pops, and like, I think a crowd would have a legit chance to make somebody if they just happen to be the guy that they get behind when they do return.
Let me ask you guys something before I do my storyline you should be paying attention to. Do you think that we have WrestleMania in person this year? Is it another Performance Center Thunderdome deal?
I think they'll try to do like what they AEW is doing. I think they're going to do a smaller, like a big venue, but obviously it's going to be very spaced out. But I do think Vince is going to try it.
And considering the size, I mean, they were going to fit, 80,000 people into Tampa? Easily fit, 15,000?
Some NFL teams are doing that now. It's the exact same thing.
But you guys are both right, especially, I mean, we can say what we want and about what we're seeing in groups, et cetera, but the real test is what's going to happen live, and a lot of stuff, you know, how it flows organically. And so, yeah, I would love to see a general real crowd reaction to how Roman is doing, especially right now, because I hope that all the people, and I was one of those kind of people who was like, yeah, why? I mean, I get it. He's, you know, related to The Rock. Why are they doing it with this guy? He's putting in phenomenal work. And now I am all aboard on what happens. And it'll be great for that face turn to happen also in front of people to see how they'll take him, you know, being the good guy again. But Sammy, why don't you go ahead and roll on into yours?
Mine is the storyline you should be paying attention to is the War Games. The Pat McAfee stable against Undisputed Era. And who's going to be on Undisputed Era who turns heel? Because I feel like that is definitely coming. Somebody's going to turn heel on Undisputed Era.
You don't think there's any chance that they win and then that's when they move them up to the main roster?
Maybe. I just feel like that NXT is so shallow on top in the men's division that you kind of need them right now.
That's fair.
I will say, I do want to add, because I listened to 83 Weeks, and Eric Bischoff, there's a criticism that I have of that last segment, that Eric Bischoff made a really damning indictment of Kevin Dunn and WWE's production that I thought wasn't intentional. It was that he talked about the issues that WCW had was that they had Turner Sports people who didn't shoot wrestling, And that if you're calling it in the ring and you're people who don't, if you're calling it in the ring and you're people who don't know how to shoot wrestling, you're not going to get a whole lot of, you know, you're going to have issues where stuff is missed. And I feel like there's, you know, we talked about the bump that Drew took at Hell in a Cell that I thought didn't have the kind of, part of what made it less impactful was that it was not shot well. I thought that the final brawl was not shot well. And it's just sort of a damning indictment of Kevin Dunn that things are so meticulously laid out and he's still missing stuff.
So this is something that we're doing this week. It's not been a normal category. Booking decision you don't understand. And I'm not going to use this for my hot take, so I can kind of incorporate this here. NXT is at an all-time low in their storylines, the value of the show, and this sort of goes along with it. The Leon Ruff Gargano match, I mean, Damian Priest has been, you know, presented as a face, and this week he was just flat out a heel. I mean, he interrupted, he cost Gargano a chance to, you know, win his match. It feels like maybe they're setting him back up for a heel turn. Maybe they're going to try to do the Big Show deal where he's going to go from heel to face back to heel, because it would be extremely heel if he's doing all this just to get a match with Leon Ruff and then he destroys him and win back his, you know, his title. But I don't remember, you know, the booking on NXT being this bad. And, you know, somebody, I think, tagged us in a post, Sam, on Twitter, you know, with the blindfold match going, what the hell is going on? And it's a legit good question. And I will say I'm very excited about the War Games. That is the one thing, along with the women's title picture, that is saving the show. But overall, man, some of the, like, storylines and stuff going on is just – it's just really bad, and it's sad because NXT is such a high-quality show, you know, for its – basically its entire run.
I was smiling a little bit because I was thinking about the War Games and the blindfold match, and I was like, Triple H's love of old school territory gimmicks giveth and taketh away. yeah, the blindfold match. I don't know. There has literally never been a good blindfold match, and it only worked.
Not even Rick Martel versus Jake the Snake at WrestleMania.
No, that was a dud.
I actually enjoyed that match a little bit.
But at least the story in that instance.
And that might be fair, Ronald. That might be why I enjoyed it, because the storyline was good moving into it. But
that's the other point to make, is that those matches work when you have crowd reaction.
Right. Very fair.
You need, like, having a blindfold match with a piped in crowd.
What was the Bird movie with Sandra Bullock? That's all I could think of during the match.
All about Steve?
No, the Netflix movie that just came out.
Bird Box. I honestly, it's disappointing. I think that they have just been decimated by injuries. And I think that as good as SmackDown has been because of the pandemic, I think that NXT has just decimated by injuries, decimated by, you know, I think that there's also, they're sort of running dry on indie talent. Just like they ran through, like, you think about KO, Sami Zayn, Finn Balor, who's back, but whatever, Cesaro, like all of these guys who came through, Nakamura, Samoa Joe. Profits.
Also take into consideration, I think, I also think COVID plays a big part, because NXT thrives, I think, off of its fan reaction. You know, small, intimate crowd, but the energy is definitely felt.
It's almost like a mini ECW back in the day in some ways.
Yeah, very, very, very true.
Well, I've been right down to the fact that it's the same place most weeks. Right. And I think that there's a, and I've always, when NXT was at its best, it was this hybrid of like the best of the independents with the kind of pomp and circumstances that the WWE does. I will say I'm going to defend that Damian Priest, Gargano, Leon Ruff storyline. We get to our baby face of the week. My booking decision just.
Oh, before we go on that, because I just realized there was, oh God. because of that, number one, Damian Priest was always a heel. It was just like he only kind of became a face. It was like kind of like a pushed crowd reaction from him picking up the North American Championship. But yeah, in terms of just the overall quality, it's really hurtful right now because there's not a lot really going on. Honestly, more of the women are saving what's happening right now.
Oh yeah.
More than anything. But go ahead, Sam. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. For me, I don't understand how Keith Lee is like the third guy that WWE's had where I've been like, this is the guy who you could just seems like money no matter what, along with Nakamura, guys who I think are just sort of singular in terms of their charisma and their ability to connect. And he came up and he looked like he was going to be a big deal. And now he's just not. He feels like an afterthought. And he's not a young guy. And he's somebody that you kind of need to push. You know, he's 36. He's Seth Rollins' age. You kind of need to take the chance to do it. And I just don't get, you know, maybe they're waiting and maybe he'll have a big moment. But for now, I'm just like, how do you find that guy who came up and it was so, like, people were so excited about him. And now he's just sort of an afterthought.
Yeah, it really sucks because I was, you know, we were all, and, you know, me personally, super excited about it. I mean, immediately right into the world title picture where, you know, we thought that, okay, they might be doing a little too much, but, you know, just ease off just a bit. And we thought, you know, I thought something would come of, you know, out of his Braun Strowman angle. Instead, it's kind of been dragged into this Survivor Series team, which I'm going to touch on in just a minute. But yeah, I'm totally with you there, Sammy.
What's if he's a sole survivor this week?
That helps, but I honestly, so this gets into something that bothers me, which is like, if they had brought him up and not had him be, you know, Keith F. and Lee, and then not set the expectations at world title, that's one thing. But, you know, if he'd come in and started feuding over the mid-card titles, you know, if he'd come to SmackDown and feuded over the IC title or feuded over the US title, you know, which we know Vince would love to have happen,
especially the US.
Yeah, we'll get Keith and then it'll be great. It's good shit. But yeah, and so I don't, the sort of pushing it back, I don't get. It feels like they took one step forward and two steps back with him. But if he's the sole survivor, that's something, but they need to go forward with it. Because they're telling us he's a big deal, but they're not showing us that he's a big deal.
And I honestly think that he can be the sole survivor this coming week. Wouldn't surprise me if they had Riddle with him, you know, as the winning part of the winning team. It seems that they're Riddle's kind of a bit on the upswing. On the thread of the Survivor Series team, my storyline was, why is Retribution beating Team Raw on the go home show into the Survivor Series? Why would you even have your Survivor Series team losing in a match, you know, of that type of quality? I get the kind of story that they're trying to tell, but it's like they have Team Raw going in here with no cohesion, no unity, no nothing. And then expect us to think that they actually have a shot at overcoming Team SmackDown.
I personally, and again, if I'm thinking what they're doing, and we'll see if it plays out on Sunday, I think they're trying to give Retribution a little boost while also, because I mean, if you look at Raw and SmackDown on paper, I mean, I don't even care if they add Daniel Bryan and, you know, The Fiend. Daniel Bryan and whoever on SmackDown, the Raw team is stacked, right? Like they on paper are so much stronger than the SmackDown team. I think they're setting up SmackDown to win, and they're going to win because of dissension. Obviously, it's probably going to lead to, you know, I think some feuds within the guys inside of the Raw team. And I think they kind of have to do that, or as, you know, just fan, or I mean, just a casual observer. If you look at a team with Keith Lee, Sheamus, you know, AJ Styles, Braun Strowman, and I mean, even Matt Riddle's, you know, a ripped dude against, you know, Jey Uso and the guys that you got on SmackDown, it's kind of hard to believe they're going to win. I think that's what they're setting up and why they're having that dissension. Or you're going to have one guy on Raw just basically overcome and be, I think, a sole survivor. I think that's the only two ways you're going to see that going.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you guys. I'm with Ronel, though, and I really hate the distraction roll-up, which has been a stuck in my craw because WWE tends to do it a lot, and they've gotten away from it. And I get wanting, so I feel like it's a finish that helps no one. I get wanting to tease the dissension, but you know, if, and I get wanting to make Retribution look better, but like, why don't you have Retribution, I don't know, beat the New Day in a non-title match or beat
up. Wait a minute, now you bitch about that every week though in defense too.
Touche. I mean, have them beat up, you know, beat another tag team that I'm sure exists on Raw that I can absolutely think of. It's not a good sign for Raw.
Exactly. I mean, that's where I kind of understand what they're doing, because they're you know, they're trying to get Retribution to at least being somewhat relevant as a mid, you know, card, you know, unit. And that, and I think they've readjusted, and I give them kudos for that, to where it makes more sense where they're at. And it just, I mean, like, I don't have as big of a problem with this, only because this isn't a cohesive unit. You know what I mean? And like, they are. And I really do think they're setting up that storyline. Now, if Raw ends up dominating on Sunday and there's like three survivors, throw all that out the window. And it's like, these guys literally just, they don't even think, you know, two steps ahead, two steps behind. They're just throwing shit up against the wall.
There has to be something. I mean, there has to be something to set this up, which we'll get more into when we get to Survivor Series. But yeah, I mean, I get why they did it, but I wish that they'd done it without the roll up. Like, why don't you let Ali hit his finisher on Riddle? Like,
all right, that's fair. Let's go to face of the week, Ronel. Who's yours? Heel of the week. I'm sorry. Let's do heel first.
Do the heel first. We're going back to Roman Reigns. It's been a minute since we've actually had Roman Reigns.
Let's just call it the Roman Reigns of the week.
Okay.
He is consistently the best heel in wrestling right now.
And it's great. Like, I mean, he cut a great promo in the beginning where Drew came out. I mean, they actually wound up telling the story as to what was going to happen coming on Monday, which, you know.
How about Paul Heyman?
But
that one liner was just, I mean, we talked about it last week, but I love it. You ain't missing much. Just the way he said it, he's the best.
But yeah, and just the way he handled Jay in that, you know, I didn't ask you to do anything, blah, blah, blah. Just he handled it all well. And then in the end of the show, when he just looked at Drew and Drew goes back to him and says, understand, he was like, get you one of these and then we'll talk on Sunday. I absolutely love that.
It's Roman at this point is just so good. Like I you know, it's the technical wrestler of the year and the Wrestling Observer is the Bryan Danielson Memorial. So I think he won it like 8 years in a row. Like, I feel like that's what we should do with Roman, because Roman is just so consistently good.
Well, why don't we just stamp it right now? And then
is he the wrestler of the year, even with only having 6 months? Like, it's a legit question, because I don't know if anybody's had a better year.
McIntyre.
McIntyre's been more interesting and a bigger presence in a year than – I mean, I disagree. I think he has been – like, wrestling feels like it took off the day he got back. And it's been so much more interesting across the board.
Hard to disagree with you there.
Yeah.
I mean, he definitely, the Universal title is the Universal title, but like the Universal title, and you know how I am, I'm a prestige nut. Mm-hmm. The Universal title right now is the crown jewel.
Looks a lot better in blue, too. There's just something about it to me. The belt looks a lot better as blue as it did red. Sam,
thank you, Bray Wyatt, for that.
Absolutely. Sam, who is your heel of the week?
Mine was Eddie Kingston, who is the first wrestler since Bubba Ray Dudley in ECW that I actually genuinely dislike as a heel, like, who I'm supposed to dislike. He's just so scummy and really just, I mean, I mean that as a compliment.
No, yeah, I get it.
He's human garbage.
It's like the Million Dollar Man. Ted DiBiase was that way to me, to where, like, he just, like, everything about him, you just want to, like, punch him in the face. And
I'm very excited to see Pat and the Death Triangle murder death kill him. Which is, you know, he did great work in his feud, and I feel like somewhat actually better with his feud with Moxley, where he's become very smarmy and slimy. And I thought that he's done a great job of that. So that was
And to add on to that, that kind of goes back to when we were all together talking about, now, especially more than ever, give us a 6-man championship. I mean, there's
AEW is so set up for it. I mean, they can make it so the best friends. I mean, there's so many. The Rhodes, you know, team.
Two sections of the Dark Order.
Just go on and on.
They would be the only companies I looked at.
The Young Bucks and Omega. I mean, they could just kill it.
Ring of Honor has one, and NJPW has one. So I'm kind of surprised that AEW does it because of the NJPW.
And, oh my God, it could give Matt Hardy something to do with Private Party.
Yep.
So my Hill of the Week, and this is honestly only going to be if Omega is the person that laid out Moxley.
He has to be.
The contract signing, I just loved everything about it. He comes out, you know, Moxie's music hits. Where is he? I love the camera shot to the back. We've seen this a million times before. He's laid out. Omega's like, I don't know what happened to him. You know, he should have showed up, signed the contract, got the hell out of there. Also, a side note, Moxley with the most nonchalant pregnancy announcement in the history of mankind. I literally checked everywhere because – I asked my wife, who, you know, she follows more of that kind of stuff with wrestling, obviously, than the actual wrestling. And I was like, did you know that Renee's pregnant? And she's like, no. And I mean, we looked everywhere, and it's like he literally made that announcement in a promo with just saying, I got a pregnant wife at home. Like, it's just, he's such a cool dude.
Guys, did you happen to hear about Renee Young? She was supposed to be telling Moxley, but she had just been in a message conversation with Bailey. So she actually dropped it to Bailey before she dropped it to her husband.
That's awesome. That's unfortunate, you know, what they're dealing with and why, in some, you know, terms, there is some truth probably to, you know, Moxley's promo and stuff, is they are spending a lot of time, you know, away from their loved ones and stuff. And, I'm so excited for Hill Omega. I've never seen, obviously, like, true Hill Omega. I didn't watch New Japan. From everything I've heard, he's incredible. I've liked everything he's done in AEW. I talked about how much I loved his promo a few weeks ago from his house, where he's like, this isn't even my house. It ain't my dog. To this week, you know, obviously laying out the champ, being like, I don't know what happened to him. Signing the contract and just, you know, moving on. So he is my Hill of the Week. Face of the week, I'm going to give it to Drew McIntyre. I don't know how you can't. He came, stared down Roman Reigns on Monday, or excuse me, Friday, last Friday, said, you know, you think you're the man, I'm the man. Reigns basically challenged him to go get a belt and then we can talk. And then he went out and he did. And he beat Randy Orton clean. And, you know, we had a text chain about this. I actually think it made sense to have him lose the belt and then regain it back to Randy Orton, because his reign was getting a little stale, and I don't think that's any fault of his. It's almost everybody who's been champion during this, it gets stale because there's no crowds. It's just kind of, you know, the same. It's like Groundhog Day. Same thing over and over and over again. I liked everything about what McIntyre did to his character during this period. I think it makes sense to have him, you know, win his first title from Brock Lesnar, his second from Randy Orton. And I think Sam, you know, said it perfectly when he won this back. He's probably going to get cashed in probably Sunday by The Miz and lose the title again. And then he's going to, you know, start the chase all over. But I'm okay with it. But it was still a really big week for McIntyre. And I'm going to be honest, Like, I felt like he had more momentum in the last 2 weeks, you know, after he lost the belt, since, you know, arguably going into WrestleMania when everything kind of got taken away from him. Because you got to remember, this guy was, you know, really, really just red hot and about to have a huge moment. You know, the crowd went nuts crowd when he eliminated Brock Lesnar. And I feel bad for him. You know, he didn't get his Mania moment, but it's been a big year for him, and he's my face of the week.
That was a great, I love the little subtle nod to Braveheart, too.
Yeah, that was great. Awesome. And I'm all in for a Sheamus McIntyre feud, if that's where we're eventually going.
Hey, I mean, if it lasts, well, if Miz does not cash in instantly, having Sheamus, you know, kind of challenge him wouldn't be a bad thing at all.
So, Ronel, who's your face of the week?
My face of the week was The New Day, and I'm talking about a sum of all of their parts, because the Big E and Street Profits promo part was close, if not to be my promo of the week, because I like the exchanges that they've been having with the Street Profits, trying to get friendly with Big E, and Big E just considerably shutting them down. But then they're serving them food with the L's, because your boys are going to take it. Was all fantastic. And then the new the tag champs surprised me on Monday, because I actually thought there was a real good possibility of them putting the titles on the
Hurt. I'd have been so pissed. Like, I'm so excited for the Street Profits New Day.
Yeah,
I hope that those guys eventually get the titles off the New Day.
So but just I, give but me yeah, the Street take, Profits yeah, New Day don't match take, first. Don't take this match from. And that was the reason that I was afraid, because I was like, please don't take this match from us, because this is definitely going.
We know in, WWE likes to change champions going into mm-hmm. Survivor Series. 3 years in a row with the world title is wild.
Wow. 3 years in a row.
Well, you had Jinder Mahal and then the AJ Styles swap. And then, or excuse me, Daniel Bryan. And then, you know, this year McIntyre. So.
Wow. Yeah.
I kind of wanted it to be, I wish it had been AJ all 3 years and just have to be like, come on. I mean, I think that the New Day also, it's actually really interesting, is that I would be, they're gone, obviously, and that, you know, it's hard to do a big push, but I would be down for a Big E, like a New Day with Big E feuding with Roman Reigns and the Usos. Like, I think that would be a good, well, we get some banger six-mans out of that. We have gotten banger six-mans out of that before. But my face of the week is Leon Ruff, and that's because I think I'm going to be wrong. And actually, we were critical of NXT, but I thought that what they did with him, which was like very clearly Damian Priest made a heel move, is that like, well, Gargano beat me, so I'm going to put it on this, you know, jabron. And Leon Ruff was like, I'm not a joke. I'm no one's joke. And it's a really good chance to get himself. And, you know, it makes a new star. Like, if he comes in and beats those guys, he's made himself a star, which is really.
Can you say that first part again, Sam? I just want to hear that one more time.
What about him being the.
No, that you think you're going to be wrong. Like, I don't know if I've ever heard that on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. I think I was wrong. You know, it's one reason why we should wait for stuff to play out, is that I thought that it was going to be a side note.
We wouldn't have a podcast if we waited for stuff to play out. No, I know what you mean. I completely agree. I'm just messing with you. The match of the week. We all had the same one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Rio versus Rhea. Yeah. I mean, was this?
I mean,
maybe one of the best women matches. I want to say, well, we can definitely say this decade because it just started. But I mean, in the last few years, it was like
since Bayley,
their style. I almost think it was better. Their styles match or like just mesh so well. And I just again. I've been banging this EO drum now for, you know, a few weeks or months. I just can't get over how good she is in the ring. And it's like, no matter who she faces for the title, and the words are on out, it's a banger. And I am so excited. So before y'all go into the match, is this finally going to mean Rhea's getting called up?
I can't imagine.
She could be on SmackDown, right? Their team maybe for Sunday?
possibly. I can't imagine that that was not her send off.
It really looked a lot like a send off, especially with the, I mean, they did the big respect. I mean, don't get me wrong. I always love that when the moment is right. And these two women have been the thing about the NXT women's division for the year better part half, of the last year and a half. Yeah. So, you know, thank you, Rhea. If that is indeed your send-off, I actually kind of hoped she was going to get another women's title reign, but damn, what a match.
Yeah. I mean, I also, like, if they wanted to bring, you know, not to, to fantasy book, but if they wanted to bring her up and turn her heel and have her be Bayley's heater.
Oh, that'd be great. That would. Bayley would be able to use that. Like, oh, man, that'd be awesome.
And especially as, like, kind of a chicken shit heel, but
that would be the two people, right? Then, because they got two spots. Bailey's not on the team. It would be, you know, it'd be fitting if it was Bailey and Rhea.
By the way, I don't know if you guys know why Mandy Rose, I think, was injured by Nia.
Well, no. Come on, I'm sorry. Actually, I'm taking this out on the wrong person. I saw that everywhere. Nia gets a lot of crap, and she should. If you see the replay, it was completely not Nia's fault.
Mandy missed it.
Mandy fell really awkwardly and just did a terrible job of going through the ropes. I mean, Nia, like, literally just did this, throwing her through the middle rope. And Mandy basically tripped. So it was not Nia.
Oh, wow.
Once. You know, I don't mind piling on Nia, but this one, you saw it right, Rhino. That was not.
Yeah, no, I did. And I, honestly, because I was looking around in a couple of groups, when somebody had, I had saw it as a comment and I had went and looked back at it. I'm like, oh yeah, no, absolutely right.
Going back to the EO Rhea match, I had watched, I was like, well, AEW has been the better show. I will watch this. And then when I saw that, I was like, oh, the main event is, you know, not to crap on Cody and Darby Allin versus Bryan, but like, you want me to watch to compare that?
I'll crap on it. I had zero interest in watching that match, pretty much, period, especially compared to the other main event and with some of the matches that AEW just had on their card, period. There was two other matches that I would have rather seen, honestly, above that.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't. You know, I mentioned that earlier. I don't know why they didn't do it. But, you know, good for NXT for getting the chance to have, you know, I thought that that end to NXT was about as strong as anything I've seen since for a while. The one thing that I wonder, well, we'll get to that.
Unfortunately, they lost the ratings war by like close to 125,000.
Particularly for an episode that had a blindfold match just an hour earlier. So this is a new one and I'm excited about it. This will be the last category before we get to Survivor Series preview. The hot take of the week. And it's perfect that we just ended up talking about Io and Rhea. And remember, people, this is a hot take, so it's supposed to be something you're like, what? I think you could argue that the best two women's wrestlers in the world right now were fighting for the NXT championship on Wednesday night. I definitely think Io falls in that category. And I think with Rhea's size and her ability, I think she's better than Bayley in the ring. I think she's, you know, Charlotte's not around right now, and that has a little bit to do with it. And I mean, no offense to AEW, and you know, but I mean, they don't really even have a women's division right now. I'll give them that they had three segments, and I do want to give them kudos for that. But to me, when you're ranking women's wrestlers, it's WWE, especially for the four shows that we cover. And I just, the more I've thought about it, Rhea's had nothing but great matches this year as well. And I think Bayley is obviously a way better character. Sasha is a way better character. And when you encompass everything, but if you're talking about just pure in-ring wrestling ability, Asuka honestly would be the only person that I might consider over these two. And I see you rolling your eyes, Sam. It's a hot
no, no,
take.
No. That was exactly you mentioned Asuka, so I'm not going to roll my eyes. I was waiting. For
what's yours, Sam?
Mine is that they are in danger of making Keith Lee just another guy.
Saddens me.
I mean, but if it's supposed to be something controversial, it's that Cody Rhodes is turning into another Triple H. You know, that I maybe that's a heel decision that they want him to be seem overexposed.
It seems like they backed out of that plan, though.
That's
hard to say that when he's main eventing a show, though.
Well, I know, but I mean, it just this is where sometimes I think the AEW is so hypocritical, and it's almost like they don't even see, you know, some of the stuff, like with some of the comments that they make, and a lot of times it's Khan, and I know that's not fair, but he's the owner, right? So, but I mean, they make all these comments, and it's like, you know, Sam talked about it last week. They're not doing insurance for their wrestlers. They talked about that. How are they going to be so much better? They're not doing that. Yeah, they talked about how they would put over younger talent. And again, Moxley, Jericho have been the only two world champions, WWE guys that have been well-established. You look at the North American champions, they finally got a younger one in Darby Allin. But before that, it was Cody Rhodes, Brody Lee. And then Cody takes up a lot of attention. Friggin' Matt Hardy is putting, you know, beating Sammy Guevara in every match. I'm just saying that, and again, I don't have any problem with any of this. It's just with some of the comments that they make, how they're going to be the young, new, you know, this and that. And it's like, it seems a lot of the same old, same old.
Yeah, I mean, the Cody Rhodes being in the main event, I was like, you have one of the best wrestlers on the planet and Pat coming back.
And his return match.
Yeah, and that's not the main event? With quite a hot angle behind a
good
it.
Match.
Right, yeah. And a swerve kind of at the end that, you know, they got back together. And
yeah.
More, yeah, that's, trust me, I cared more about Death Triangle reuniting than Will Hobbs turning heel.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah, I don't even really know who Will Hobbs is. I don't watch AEW After Dark. I had to read a bunch of articles to figure out.
I only know about him from, you know,
going on. Like, and that's another problem I have is it's like, if you're going to do that, how about you have him on the show, you know, regularly before you, you know, make a big move like that, which they really haven't done.
Well, he's been kind of a craw in the Team Taz's side. Even since way back with the Moxley thing, because he came in and, you know, then he came and helped Darby after they
jumped. Saying, like, how many matches? Is, you know what I'm saying? I understand what you're saying. Like, I know technically, but I mean, but like, yeah, what's he wrestled? Like, one match on AEW, saying, you know, like, and not on AEW?
Yeah. Yeah. And quite honestly, I wasn't that impressed.
I will say I liked, because I think that taking the comic book approach with AEW, which is that, you know, Dynamite is the main event show, and then you have the sort of tie-in books of Keith just blankly staring at this, and I hope Ron is a comics fan, or else I'm out on the limb here.
But no, you're not. I'm with you.
Okay, the tie-in is
get
like...
Get out of that limb, Sam.
The tie-in is Dark and the being the Elite, but I thought that they did a really good job on commentary of talking about how Taz had been recruiting Will Hobbs. So that I was not completely, I was like, okay, that's what the storyline here is. Just that it's a surprise because Taz has been trying to get him and he'd not. And it's okay. But they got the Cliff Notes version of it. But yeah, I don't know why that was the main event.
So I'm going to go with my hot take, you know, considering your beef with what was going on with the mid-card title that you never seem to be able to announced correctly on the first shot, is all of WWE's mid-card titles have lost their luster. Like I said earlier, I'm a prestige nut, and I was even trying to, you know, pull up some dates. We're not getting any traction behind Sami Zayn, which I'm disappointed in. I don't know if there's something behind the scenes.
Why not just defend the belts, right? Like, I don't understand.
And there's no, thank you. That was the second part, is no title defenses. Like, I get what you're doing with the Hurt Business, but Bobby's got to get out there and defend that title if you want us to think that he'll be deserving of a world title at some point. I just learned today that Bobby Lashley and I are the same age. And now it's like, shit, I actually have to start exercising. I mean, I'm never going to catch up to that. Never going to catch up to that. But like, we're the same age and he looks as phenomenal as he does. I want to look even half as good.
Particularly on Raw, right? Because it's like, they got 3 hours. We talk all the time how they need to fill air. if you have a US title match, even if it's just every other week, you're taking up a 15, 20 minute segment of each show. I'm 100% behind you on this. Like
that, and the cherry on the cake was this whole, you know, Johnny Gargano, Damian Priest, Leon Ruff love triangle for the NA title.
I mean, the 24/7 title gets more attention on the television shows than the IC and US title. That's pretty much what
We just had a 24/7 actual match last week,
which
and 8 title changes.
I mean, it's it is. And I don't get, because it's such a, I mean, it's one of those, it's the easiest layup in wrestling to me, where, I mean, it's Hurt Business is sort of tweeners, but if you wanted to get Keith Lee over, put the title on Keith Lee and have Keith Lee just defend, be like, I'm going to be a fighting champion, and have, let Keith Lee go out and do what Keith Lee does, which is have banger matches. And, you know, the same thing that they did with John Cena, where everyone, like, people forget that John Cena, after, like, and up until he got housed by Brock Lesnar, people were sort of, you know, like, he was John Cena, Cena always wins, LOL. And then John Cena lost to Lesnar and then won the US title and had a summer where he just wrestled these banging matches. Everyone's like, oh, John Cena's great. And John Cena's been beloved ever since. Like, why don't you give Keith Lee the title and let him have a 20-minute match with Sheamus, a 20-minute match with Riddle? Like, these guys where you can just have them have great matches.
And you can rebuild Braun Strowman.
Yep.
A lot of guys. Yeah. Honestly.
A lot of it's just me. It is frustrating. Me and loving my titles meaning something.
Especially they had a chance when they changed the titles.
You know, I was like going to say, yes.
They changed the look of them. They had a chance to rebrand them.
Yes.
It is disappointing.
That does piss me off is that they talk about that the titles are props. Like, yeah, exactly. But, you know, the whole point of, yeah, they're MacGuffins. They're the things that they use to drive the stories. But if you don't make them mean something, why do I care? Like, and it's the kind of thing where even if you don't necessarily defend the title every week, but if you have something where, I don't know, you know, that you have Sheamus and Riddle wrestle and then Sheamus wins to wrestle Lashley and Lashley beats Sheamus, you know, something like that, something to set up A, you know, A follows B follows, C follows B follows A, you know, that sort of thing. And I just don't get why they don't do that. They don't do it enough.
So there's a pay-per-view this Sunday. It's one of the big four. We're going to do a preview here. I hope Sam is going to be somewhat nice because we need. I am kind of excited for this.
There's a pay-per-view this month? I thought it was just The Undertaker's swan song.
So that's actually where I want to start. They're calling this The Undertaker's Final Farewell. What do you guys think this will be?
I honestly have no clue. I thought about it.
Squash match, right? Maybe.
No.
Not like Elias or something, where he comes out. Elias is singing. He comes out.
First of all, The Undertaker's career has had more false finishes than a James Brown concert.
How long have you been waiting to do that joke? Huh? Come on, man.
A fair bit. I think I made it earlier. There's no way that this is his final farewell. Because there's nobody there. They're going to let him. And let me rephrase this. If it is his final farewell, I'm going to be pissed. Undertaker, despite having turned into like MAGA grandpa, is somebody who has done so much for the wrestling business and sacrificed so much that he deserves the opportunity to have his,
The people send him off.
Yeah.
Isn't it kind of poetic, though, if it was 30 years? I mean, because it's 30 years, right, from his first Survivor Series. I mean, I understand exactly what you're saying. I get it. But if he's, like, truly done, I don't know. I mean, I understand both sides, honestly. If he's truly done, but I agree with you. I mean, is he really going to be done? Because I think I heard rumors Vince is already trying to get him to have a Mania match.
So this is my question, then, for you guys. Do you think that this is a shoot goodbye ceremony, or do you think this is an angle to set up?
Oh, I didn't even think about it. It's an angle. You're right. I didn't even think about it. That's exactly what it is.
I mean, somebody's gonna
that's come exactly out. What it is. Like, there it is.
Who somebody's gonna come out to disrespect him.
No, that's it. That is it.
This is the only reason why I'm hesitant to say that is we all watched The Last Ride. Like, this has to, like, I thought, like, I can't imagine another, maybe another cinematic match, but I have a hard time believing it. I feel like,
well, I think he's going to do a cinematic. I think if he does a WrestleMania match, it'll be, as he said in the documentary, that he really liked that because, you know, it allowed him to have his best performance. You know what I'm saying? And he felt like that's what the character, you know, involves, is, you know, not just in the ring stuff, but other. And I mean, it was entertaining. So, I mean, I'm with you. I hope that's what happens, if that is the case. But now I'm completely convinced that's what this is an angle. I hadn't even thought about it. It's like, yeah, duh. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Do you think it is, Runo?
I'm actually hoping so, because just based off of what you said, you're right. Like, the fans deserved to show this dude love. When you were talking about it 30 years ago, my brain just flashed back.
Crazy, right?
I was in...
Don't give your age away, Ron L.
I was
already,
in...
You came close with the Lashley thing.
No, I already...
I actually did.
I actually did. And I'm okay with that. But I remember I was writing a little wrestling column for my middle school paper.
Oh, that's cool.
I was just thinking about when I was sitting at the keyboard trying to do the little recap, because, you know, you do a little work up and in a paper that nobody reads. And
kind of like a podcast that nobody really listens to.
We're doing a lot better than I did in junior high. That's for sure. But yeah, I remember the highlights being my highlights being the hell was the gobbledygooker. Oh my god,
he was a smart fan before there was smart fans. Listen,
I think that was everyone's response, because the gobbledygooker was being built up.
Yeah, but he was like 12. Was like, what's in the egg? Mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a big difference there. Like,
it was like, what's in the egg? It was just like,
and then it was, yeah, Hector
Verone. You know, they pitched the Taker to come out of there. Like, that was actually one of the suggestions, was that was how Undertaker was gonna, like, be introduced.
Well, I'm glad DiBiase introduced him.
He said, that's another, y'all gotta watch that documentary. That's another thing he said in the Last Ride documentaries. He's like, I would never be here if you know, they pitched that, and that would have been what, you know,
destroyed him out of the game.
Thank God it didn't. Some of these matches we're not really gonna talk about. The Lashley Sami Zayn match, I'm sorry, I don't really have any interest. Let's just give a prediction. Who you got winning, Ron?
Thank you. Well, thank you for just double downing on my hot take.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
And the worst part is that, like, I'm thinking about it. I don't, and you're right, I don't care. But as I try to think about it, it would hurt Sami Zayn less, I think. Actually, no, I'm wrong. Bobby Lashley's on TV more. It would hurt him more to lose.
So you got Zayn?
So I have Bobby Lashley.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go Zayn just because I think, yeah, I mean, well, I'm going to go Lashley because I think that the Lashley's in a storyline that I can remember.
Yeah, exactly my point.
I'm going to go Lashley, and I think it's going to, well, actually, I'll take that back. I'm going to go Zayn because they're going to have the scoreboard. You know, they are the Raw SmackDown total. Oh. And I can see a few of these definitely going SmackDown. I really do. Raw. Wait a minute, I'm getting confused here. Yes. Well, I'm going to go with Zayn. So, because this match right here, the tag team titles, which is probably in-ring
match
wise,
of the night,
because I've seen Asuka, Sasha. And obviously, I'm excited about Reigns versus McIntyre, but I don't think we think that's going to be like a 5-star, you know, classic. I think this match has a chance to be just incredible. But they better let the Street Profits win. This is something I get really frustrated with WWE in general. This is a moment to put over the Street Profits on a big stage. The New Day do not need to win this match. I mean, they joked in their promo against the Hurt Business that, like, we've won the tag title so many times, we don't even know. Is it 9, 10? I don't know. So they don't need this win. Street Profits need to go over, and I'm just very excited to see this match. I think that Montez Ford will do the biggest frog splash you ever see in this match.
I think that, yeah, I think the Street Profits need the win, and I think in part because of all the goofy bullshit that they did with them and
the Viking
who apparently fell into the same wormhole that Daniel Bryan did.
One of them's injured right now.
Yeah, one of them hurt that blew out their knee.
That sucks because they're a really good tag team. But
yes, yeah, they are.
Also,
yeah.
Vince can't hurt them anymore. Yeah.
And that's why, you know, Eric wound up taking losses during the Raw Underground thing. And he was
come on, do your Vince voice, Sam. We'll put him in the 24/7 title.
We'll have him hunt for the 24/7 title.
Which he did and won for two
for
seconds.
For 2 seconds.
Anyway.
Jesus. But yes, it absolutely has to be the Street Profits. And you know what? I'm gonna put I have to put this on here so that I can make up for it next year. My my girlfriend's son had posed us being the Street Profits, but like it was only a couple of days before Halloween. But if you were to see it, like I'll show you a picture of him, and it would actually be perfect because he's short, he's a little chubby. He even said, "You be Montez, I'll be." And it's like we didn't have enough time to get an outfit.
You better do it. I'm gonna be disappointed. So we're posting photos in the group next year.
Next year it has to happen.
Me and Brittany went to CM Punk and AJ Lee. That was the moment I knew I wanted to marry her. Was she literally because the year before she picked the costume, and the next year she's like, "You can pick it." I was like, "We're going to CM Punk and AJ Lee." She was like, "Really?" I was like, "Yeah." And she did it. She looked great.
Yeah, like once you saw her in the outfit, you.
the women's title match. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm not as excited about this just because we've seen so much of Asuka, Sasha this year. I'm more interested in who's going to win. I hope it's Asuka, honestly. I know Sasha, you know, has only won one title defense, I guess two now. In her, you know, career. So you could argue she does, but Asuka just seems to always get put down in these big matches against, you know, the four horsewomen. So for that alone, I hope Asuka wins, but if I had to bet, I bet Sasha goes over.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm in the exact same boat as you. Unfortunately, Sasha's the more interesting women's champion by no fault of my homegirl Asuka. I mean, the fans of the show, because you're out there. You know, let me stop acting like we're guys. You know, as much as
it was a joke, Ron.
We're good.
We do decent numbers. It's one of the top rated show on the IB Podcast Network. I know that for a fact. Consistently,
really,
yeah.
Oh wow, that's awesome. But yeah, unfortunately they're gonna dump on my homegirl Asuka again because right now it makes sense. She has no challenger, so it's
what
not
about
like...
a Charlotte interrupt in a no contest?
I can't wait for Charlotte to get back.
She posted a picture of her like going through the apron, or somebody interpreted as that, like her getting ready to like go through Gorilla, I believe. I mean, would y'all either one of y'all have a problem with that if Charlotte
absolutely not,
you know, interferes and then that way neither one of them take the L?
That was why my pick was Asuka, was that I thought that Carmella was going to do something.
Oh, that's fair.
So Sasha the match. That's my prediction. Some sort of, because I think that the WWE is investment in both of these women. And actually values them.
What brand is Charlotte on?
Raw.
Okay. So if she's returning as a heel, she could attack Asuka too, right?
Yeah.
So before we move on real quickly, what do you guys think about the return of Carmella? Does it excite either of you?
I like Carmella. I just don't understand why you change your character and then immediately elevate her to the title picture and not let her at first get some momentum, because she really hadn't been doing anything. But I actually think Carmella is one of the more underrated women on the ladies roster, because, you know, she had a decent championship reign. She had some great matches. And to me, the most impressive thing is it's really hard to get over when you're not involved in like the title picture. And she did with R-Truth and just a silly gimmick thing. And I think any performer in wrestling deserves credit when they can make themselves, you know, basically you know,
stay relevant.
Exactly. Without like a pick, throughout a period where you really don't have a story. Like I actually have a lot of respect for Carmella.
I think that Carmella is somebody who doesn't get the respect she deserves because she did not come up the way that somebody like Bayley or Sasha or Asuka, and was sort of not an NXT darling. But I think she's really good at what she does, and she's managed, like you guys said, to get herself over.
Bada Boom? She's the realest gal in the room out of those three. Who would have thought she would be the one still around and kicking, have a world title reign when those three came up 4 or 5 years ago?
I was surprised. You know, honestly, probably shouldn't have been surprised, but
they were so over though. Somebody posted a video the other day of them doing that intro at one of, I don't know if it was a Raw, but I mean, like, seriously, there's 20,000 people going nuts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when he's in there dancing and, you know, SAW. I mean, like, I literally, because they've been gone now for so long, forgot how over they were and how much they screwed up. Because, I mean, if they both would have just chilled.
They never should have broken them up.
No, but I mean, I think there was also issues between the two of them. Like, you know, some personal stuff with them kind of led to their breakup, I believe.
And actually, since we're on the topic of those guys, I think Big Cass has done a lot. You know, shout out to him for having done a lot to really address his issues.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, I did see some of that.
He had a pretty severe problem, and he's, you know, he's pretty open. He's a really smart guy. And I'm glad that he seems to be in a much better place.
Good for him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, I never want anything bad to happen to people. You know,
always strive for people to better themselves. I mean, that's what we all should try to do as human beings.
Yeah, and so like, big shout out to him. I would love to see him get a second chance. I think Enzo has not learned as much, which is a bit of a shame. I mean, from what I've seen, I could be absolutely wrong about that. But
even though the entire story, it turns out that his allegation was bunk, he hasn't backed down on his character or actions at all. So it makes it hard to really be like, oh, dude, you got screwed over.
Well, and he was just a problem. They said he was always like, not that kind of problem, but I'm saying like he was just, you know, an egotistical maniac, which I know that's surprising with somebody that, you know, has that kind of character. Because as they always say, the best WWE guys are themselves turned up to like, you know, 120. The two matches that Sam's going to be most excited about talking about. Let's get into the Raw versus SmackDown matches. We'll start with the ladies. We got Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, Lacey Evans, Peyton Royce, and Lana going through a table. Team Raw versus Bianca Belair, the Riot Squad, and they care so much about both of these matches on SmackDown. We've got the to be determined on the two people. I hope it is Bayley and Rhea because I'll get fired up about that, but I don't really know who else it could be. They don't have that many women on the SmackDown roster. Take it whatever direction you want, Sam.
So, Ronald, I hope you don't mind me hijacking this.
Please.
I'm going to complain.
Just don't forget to make a prediction at some point.
I will get to that at the end. Actually, just give me 1 second before I start this. Ronald, I'll let you go first because what women
are. Okay, cool, because I'll be short. Not knowing who our final two participants would be and hearing what you guys said might be a possibility, you know, even if Bailey's not one, if Rhea is one, that would be amazing.
Bailey's got to be in it. It's kind of like with Daniel Bryan on the guys team. Like I would just be shocked in a big four pay-per-view if they don't put them in that spot.
It could be Carmella. It could be there's Bailey. There's
Carmella. But there's two spots I'm saying. So I mean, like I just would be shocked if Bailey and Daniel Bryan are not one of the two on both the guys and women's roster.
I'm just waiting for the time that they're ready to start, you know, taking Bianca Belair a little more seriously. Even though we don't have them all, I'm going to go with the SmackDown ladies roster.
I think Lana's going to be the sole survivor. I'm only half joking. Cause I mean, honestly, with this, her going through the table 9 times, she's either going to turn on her squad or be the sole survivor because otherwise it truly is cruel. And I mean, like seriously what they're doing, if there's no point or case being made, she's not gaining a lot of sympathy because there's no crowds. And you know, I'm not going to lie. I'm excited to see the documentary that's coming out on WWE, because from everything Rusev says, from everything I've seen about her, I know people have their issues with her. She works her tail off. And yeah, I mean, she's a woman that has gone through a table 9 weeks in a row. I don't know any guy that's gone through a table 9 weeks in a row. People need to start giving her respect for, you know, doing whatever it takes to try to succeed. And I mean, in a good way, you know, in the ring and part of the show. And I really do. I think she'll either be the sole survivor, or she's going to turn on Team Raw, obviously, for what's been happening to her, and be the reason SmackDown wins.
I want to just piggyback off of that real quickly, Keith, and I'll let you go, Sam. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Because like I said a few weeks back, I had listened to that the Talk is Jericho podcast with Rusev. And Rusev talked about, you know, they moved out to L.A. They took acting lessons. They were always talking about ways to make their thing better. So I absolutely agree with you that, you know, as a performer, Lana definitely busts her tail to perform, you know, and they should give her something.
I mean, at the very least, they shouldn't have the storyline be that she sucks, so Nia Jax is dropping her through a table each week. And I mean, especially with the tag, you know, where she put her through the table this week because she tagged in. Like, that's what it has to. You're right. The only way that this makes sense is if something, like, somehow, you know, she lasts to the end. Or she doesn't have to win, but lasts to the end. The problem that I have with this and the SummerSlam in general is that we're told that these people put their feuds aside because they want to fight for brand supremacy. And there's no incentive to that. You know, if they said, hey, if you get, you know, there's $100,000, you know, there's $500,000 reward that you guys get to split if you win for the winning brand. You know, whoever. So that if all five guys on the Raw team last, they each get $100,000, and it gets smaller as each one. You know, so if you're the only Raw survivor, you get $500,000. So something like that, or you know, you get to pick like your. That. You get into a, you know, if you survive, however survivors are left, there's a match for the last spot in the Royal Rumble for the winning team. Some incentive to do this. To have them do a feud, you know, for something for this brand supremacy, because brand supremacy, what do they care? They get traded all the time. You know, it's people, you know, do you think that anybody on.
Look at the Pro Bowl game, for God's sakes.
Thank you. You know, but do you even think that the players, you know, like we care. You know, Ronald and I are Giants and Eagles fans. Do you think that the players dislike, you know, care more about the Giants, the Eagles game because of that than no? We're rooting for laundry, and I have no problem with that. But it's a fake. Like, you need to give me a reason, and they do this every year where people put aside feuds, and they've done it a little less actually, thankfully. Like, I used to lose my shit when they would have the people from Raw show up on SmackDown. I'm like, why? Like, you guys are just friends like a month ago, even if you're not on the same show, and all of a sudden for some nebulous concept of brand.
I will say, devil's advocate, one of the coolest moments in the last decade came because of that, with Becky invading.
True. But it
that and last year's Survivor Series for brand supremacy really propped up NXT.
We agree with you. Sorry, Sam. We're not trying to sidetrack you.
No. But what you're talking about are both things that were not planned. NXT was on because of the Saudi. Yes, because the WWE went to a country that chopped up an American journalist and
kept him on the runway for hours.
Yeah, because Vince Big League thought he could Big League the leader of the Saudi royal family. And the Becky Lynch thing happened because Nia was sloppy. And so, like, I get what you're saying, but the brand supremacy thing is only really works if there's stakes behind it. And that, you know, we talked about the WWE, the titles. Like, why not have something where, like, hey, if you win, you get a shot at being the 30th entrant in the Rumble. Like, that'd be huge. And it makes sense why they would compete for that. Nope, it's just for some nebulous concept of brand supremacy.
All right, who's your prediction, Sam? I gave you 5 minutes.
I'm going to go Raw, and I'm going to go SmackDown. and I'm going to have that Nia screws Lana out of winning the match.
No, oh, that would be hater. The guy side, again, because SmackDown doesn't care. We got Jey Uso, King Corbin, Seth Rollins, and to be determined, which actually, to give SmackDown credit, I'm assuming they're going to have matches, like qualifying matches Friday. So, again, it just shows SmackDown's such a better show because they kind of have an idea of what they're doing, to where Raw did it in like one night and then had all this mess that they've had for the last 3 weeks. On the Raw side, and again, this is a stacked – I mean, this is as stacked of a team as I can ever remember. Mm-hmm. Keith Lee, Sheamus, AJ Styles, just Riddle, and Braun Strowman. Sam, who you got?
I'm going SmackDown just because of how stacked things have been. But I just thought of something. What if Brock Lesnar was the last guy on SmackDown?
Ooh.
Not going to happen. Just,
why wouldn't it?
Because he's not under the WWE contract, and I don't think that
he's not under contract.
Yeah, I thought his contract.
No, we discussed this a couple of months ago, bro.
I wasn't listening.
listen, that was in the before times.
Don't be Googling. You're talking. I'm Googling it.
I mean, that's the only way. I mean, if Lesnar shows up, then yeah, that's it's definitely SmackDown. But I just have a feeling that like they've been doing too much in terms of the, you know, there's dissension on Raw, and so I'm just calling SmackDown as the winner just because that seems to make the most sense.
Considering how I felt earlier in the show about Retribution defeating Team Raw, I don't see how I could stick with Team Raw. Although, based off of what you were saying about Keith Lee, I wouldn't mind seeing him being the sole survivor. But I'm also going to roll with Team SmackDown.
I am too. Or Keith Lee is sole survivor. Let's just make it a trifecta. But I will say, and you are right, Sam, about the Brock Lesnar thing. But I will also say it would make much more sense for him to interrupt the title match. He's got beef with both of these guys. McIntyre defeated him for his belt. Reigns has got his damn manager, you know, is calling him the man. And I actually would be jacked if he interrupted that. And we got a triple threat, whether it be at Rumble or whatever. And then they finally unified the titles. I know they wouldn't do that, but God, it'd be great. Let's move on to the World Championship. Reigns versus McIntyre. I'm very excited for this match. I hope that they let Reigns go over clean. No offense to Mac, or not clean necessarily, but they let Mac or Reigns win. You know, 1, 2, 3, not anything crazy shenanigans. But I think more than likely we're going to get like a Miz cash in, probably some interference. I see a very dusty finish. Don't you guys agree?
Oh, yeah. I do. Go ahead, Sam.
Finish, but yeah, I see a screwy finish. I see something, maybe, you know, Rome. I could also see them doing something where Drew gets the advantage and Roman beats the crap out of him with a chair. So, you know, beats the crap out of him. And
the Charlotte angle from what, 2 years ago, right? Against Ronda.
Yeah. And that, but that's, I think, what we're coming towards is to have a, you know, the Miz cash in makes the most sense. I feel like it, this is where it should happen. Though that's the excitement of the cash in is that you don't, you know, we're calling it, but I would be perfectly fine with it just being like a wonky ending. And then maybe that's where Daniel Bryan shows up.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's gotta be a wonky finish. I mean, both of these dudes are at the top of their games right now. So it's hard for either of these guys to take a clean loss and move on from it. So I figure something screwy has got to happen in here.
They're too powerful at this point. You know, they're not too powerful, but they're too, I don't see the WWE allowing them to, which is actually why I was
this champion is better than that champion.
Yeah, I mean, not to have it definitive, though. I'm with Keith. I would love to see Roman go over, which feels weird to say.
honestly, he deserves it, and it would be good, I think, for him, because the whole part of his character right now that is so kind of exciting is he's, you know, he's the tribal chief. He's the guy that's over, you know, all of WWE, and this would just allow him to boss people around more and to have that, you know, snarky attitude and everything. And as Ronel was saying, I mean, it was just perfect on Friday with the way, like, you couldn't tell if he was angry at McIntyre for interrupting him, or you couldn't tell if he was angry at Jey Uso with speaking without him telling him, you know, you can speak. I mean, it's just, he's on another level. We've made it to the end of an episode. Guys, what do you want to plug? You want to go first, Sam, or Ronel?
Sam.
I'm going to plug my Twitter account, show610, which, as I'm job hunting, might have to go private again shortly, but we'll see.
We'll create you another one for the podcast.
Yeah, I'll run the team turnbuckle one.
I'd love you to, for real.
We'll go, and I'm going to plug the team turnbuckle group on Facebook. I'm also going to plug the Twitter account, team turnbuckle. And I want to plug the, as always, the All-Star, best $5 you're going to spend.
My usual, harvestcreditors.com, official Ronel Tinsley on Instagram. If got any problems on your credit report, you need to write a will, you just want to get your credit score up, learn how to manage your finances better, get hit me up, mention the Team Turnbuckle podcast, save $100 on starting your services.
Hell yeah. I want to obviously promote again my Twitter page, which is Keith Fleming. That's KEITHFLEMMING. One day we will get Ron L on Twitter. Also want to promote the IB Podcast Network. Me and Joe did another weekly daily fantasy football podcast that dropped last night. Alan, my co-host for the Backdoor Cover, said that he is letting me take a break to, quote, carry Joe Matz on her podcast, which I do appreciate. But we are going to get back into doing the Backdoor Cover. It's just with this podcast and the weekly daily fantasy football, especially with the fantasy football, it's a lot of research. And then me and RC have decided that starting week 17, we will do an immediate recap pod for the NFL games, basically previewing next week's playoff games, like things you need to know, etc. But guys, we did it. Survivor Series is Sunday. We'll maybe do two podcasts next week, potentially do a Survivor Series review, and then our normal podcast later in the week. It'll probably be like Saturday, obviously with Thanksgiving Friday at the earliest. But for Chief Keith, Sam the Shooter Howe, and ravishing Ronel Tinsley, we'll see you guys soon.